Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's May 15th, 2015. You're listening to the best poker cast on the interwebs. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. You had me going there for a minute.
I did?
Yeah, you know, because beginning of the show, we're joking around. I always send you something in Skype to try to make you laugh, and then every once in a while we try to mess each other up before we start the show.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what you were doing right there. You had a long pause, and I thought you were waiting for me to go, and then you're going to start the show.
No,
but I didn't go for the bait.
No. Here's the deal. Long-time listeners of the show, or even short-time listeners, will know that Scott likes to make a lot of noise on his end when he's doing the show. And I just sit here like, I'm nervous.
I can't help it.
He likes to flail his hands around and, you know, scratch his arms and pick his nose. And he makes all kinds of, doesn't realize he's hitting the mic with his hand because, you know, it's no secret. We tape our show in each of our own offices, so... when in the beginning I was about to hit record, you're making all kinds of noise. I'm waiting for you to stop making noise so I can at least say the date without any noise.
Allow me to quote Chris Cosenza from the May 15th, 2015 show 30 seconds ago. Scott likes to make a lot of noise when we're recording, so I'm curious at how long you were going to wait because...
So you stopped making noise. You never stopped. But I had to at least find like a lull in the noise to say the date. But, I wasn't trying to lure you into anything there. Don't worry.
Okay. See, this is why when you call into the World Series of Poker Media conference call, you're muted on your end.
Exactly.
You have to ask for permission to speak, because I know there's a bunch of nervous novices like me just twirling our pen and drinking beer and whatever else that, you know, interrupts the call, right? So,
could you imagine if you had to sit there and listen to all the noise that those guys were making on the other end?
Oh,
I mean, you would never hear anything they were saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's genius that they mute them.
All right, so as we said, Tuesday was the annual World Series Poker Media Conference call, and while I wasn't as giddy about it as some of my fellow journalists who tuned in were, I mean, really, some of, I think one of my said, this is the greatest day of the year.
Jeez.
We're like, wow. Anyhow, I tuned in nonetheless because they always do a good job of going over what is by far the most complicated poker series in the world, so I'm going to share some highlights to all of our listeners here. The big thing, that the headline that they started with, and I would if I was them too, pre-registration for events is 5 times higher now than in previous years. They wouldn't get into actual numbers, but that's pretty high. Probably a lot of that's the Colossus, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hotel occupancy is double last year right now. So, as I like to say, good room's still available, but don't wait to the last minute. but they definitely encourage that if folks haven't made their hotel reservations and wish to stay at the Rio, they should probably do that pronto. And they did say that they expected by the time that we finished the conference call, the pre-registration for the Colossus would already make it the largest poker tournament ever.
Wow.
Before people even show up more than 2 weeks from now and try to find their way in. So that's all very encouraging for the World Series. And I guess I'll say that this call was a little... muted this year, and mostly because I think they got most of the big news out earlier, which we already talked about on the show. So they didn't break a lot of news,
right,
on this one. But good stuff nonetheless. They did remind everyone that all tournaments with buy-ins of less than 5,000 this year will have 5 times the buy-in chip stacks, and that's up from 3 times the buy-in and 1 time a couple years ago. So they've really increased chip stacks over the last couple years. And of course, the two of them, the Colossus and the Monster Stack, will have 10x chip stacks.
Man.
And this is interesting. I was talking to some, this last trip I took, I saw a bunch of people, like, man, you're going to play the Colossus, Scott? And I hadn't really decided. I think I decided yesterday when I was looking at my schedule that I can't do it because in addition to our Antia Poker Tour event, I've got two concerts I have to go to.
You have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the way I'm looking at it is $90 to $100 worth of concert tickets and $300 worth of beer at those two concerts.
$300 worth of beer.
Do you know how much beer costs at these places?
No,
it's Vegas, too. So you have there's a Vegas tax on top of the normal entertainment beer tax that they put on. But I'm figuring that combined $400 or so is going to save me from wasting $575 in the classes. But no, a lot of people talking about it, and I actually, this was kind of the point I made to him. I'm like, you know, I'm just not sure whether I would take a shot at $575 and what's going to be just a bingo parlor for a while, right?
Yeah.
Or would I rather spend like something like $1,500 and play the Raz event, which is going to have like seven people in it, right? Of course, it's the World Series. By seven, I mean like 700, but.
Still, though, your odds would be better. Right? Yeah,
exactly. So that was kind of that's actually the internal discussion going on in my head. And I did look, and I can do the Raz event this year if I want to. I haven't decided whether we're going to do that or not. But
you know, what's hilarious. You, you know, we'll be at the home game, and someone will call Raz, and you'll be like, ah. Now you want to fork over $1,500 of your own money to do it for yourself. With a bunch of people who actually know how to play the game. You're just hilarious. You won't play it for two Skittles, four Skittles without a grunt, but you're willing to put down $1,500 for it.
No, I did not say that I wouldn't grunt through the entire $1,500 experience for all four levels I last. But you know, this is how the crazy mind of Scott Lawn works. In the home game, there's so many other fun things we can do and play. And some of you guys decide to put a drill to your head and want to play Raz. So that's why I grunt there. Now, when I'm looking at my poker tournament dollar value, though, I figure the edge, I have a better chance at Raz than to do it anything else. There. And I'm not terrific at Raz.
Yeah, think again.
Not following me there?
Yeah, of course I'm following you. But it's just, it's hilarious. You have all of Vegas to choose from to play in tournaments. Just like you said, you have all these games to choose from in the home game, and you're going to go with, I'm going to sink $1,500 into a Raz event.
Well, but it's the only World Series event that I would consider playing, I guess what I'm saying. I'm going to play a ton of our events at the NEF Poker Series, Poker Tour down at Gold Nugget. All kinds of different disciplines, because they got such great tournaments and much more affordable buy-ins. So I'm going to play a bunch of that, but I'm looking at the World Series schedule. And, you know, the World Series is a commitment, you know, as anybody knows. I mean, if I'm one of these weekend warriors, like hopefully a lot of our listeners are, that go out there and they go out specifically to play the World Series, that's a different story. But I'm out there working and doing other things, concerts, Women's World Cup is this year. So I got a lot going on when I'm out there, right? And to commit to a three-day poker tournament is pretty tough, so.
Yeah, like, you're so funny that you think you're going to go all 3 days. Oh, you're so precious. Yeah, okay, let's move on here.
Well, I don't actually, besides just busting my balls there, I did want to hear your opinion on value.
Okay, so what you're saying basically is that you'll think that you might go farther in this tournament because, one, you're a little more experienced in Raz, or at least you'll expect yourself to be more experienced within that field and context than you would be in a no-limit hold'em tournament.
Players in my skill is much smaller, I believe, in the Raz event than in a no-limit hold'em tournament with 25,000 people and 5,000 starting stack.
The only thing, though, is that in Raz, it'll take you forever to get chips, to acquire them, and there's a lot of frustration in that game. Whereas the Colossus, for one-third the price, you'll get 10,000 chips or 10 times the buy-ins chips.
Yeah, 5,000 chips. That's key. I mean, that's a nightly turbo.
And if you just somehow, you know, pop aces when some guy's got kings, you're going to double through instantly, and you have a chance to survive. Whereas
that's kind of the strategy I've been talking to folks about, and everybody seems to have the same idea, is that to do well in this Colossus, you cannot play tight at all.
Right.
Not crazy, obviously, but you need to get in there and mix it up early and felt some of the fish early on, like me.
Right.
And build up a stack, because I don't think you have any other way of surviving in this thing when you start with it. I mean, it's not. I'm not criticizing the structure, obviously. I mean, I give World Series Poker great credit for even trying something like this, giving everybody a chance to play for a bracelet for less than $600 and blah, 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 right? But the fact is that the structure is still fast compared to the other tournaments there, right?
Okay, but speaking as someone who has played a $1,500 World Series No Limit Hold'em event and survived 10 hours and only went out on a bad beat, no, what I'm saying, though, is that I didn't know what I was doing then either. And I was literally 2 hours from making the money in that event.
Right, right.
And you are far more experienced now than I was then.
Right.
For a third of the price, I think that you have a better shot at making money or even doing something significant in the Colossus than you do in Raz. I think you're underestimating the quality of Raz players that are gonna come out and play Raz. They have to know what Raz is to play that thing. They're
not
gonna be an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know.
You know, and by the fact that it's a smaller field means it's a better field. So I think you would do better in the Colossus.
Right, I think it's the structure of the game of the Raz is the reason I say. I mean, there's definitely subtleties in Raz that they're really good. I can't believe I'm saying this, world-class Raz players.
Right.
No, right?
Right.
But generally, the way the board works and all that, it's a smaller edge than particularly No Limit, where, you know, it's... You know, let's go back to Mike Sexton, you know, Minute to Learn and Lifetime to Master, right?
Right.
It's a very... the difference between the players is much different, I think.
But yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I just think that you're going to come across... And as a ratio, I think you would probably come across more players that you are on the same level or better than in the Colossus than you will in Raz. I really do.
Of course, for that event, sure. 20-some thousand people. I mean, this is like the main event of... 10 years ago when we were out there,
right?
With that World Series Poker Academy and all these people that were actually buying into the main event 3 days later,
yeah,
and didn't know that a flush beat a straight, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot of those players, I think, but you're also, you got to get through them all, right, too?
Oh, no, I don't, but I just think you can expose them a lot easier and for a lot more chips than you could in Raz in the field you're going to be facing.
Right.
Save yourself a grand, Scott.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Save yourself a grand and enter the Colossus.
I'm not letting you touch my Raz bracelet.
Okay, that's fine.
Because you don't believe in me. All right, so back to the conference call. actually, I'm going to go out of order here just because... the last part I think is most interesting. Somebody did ask a question about sportsbook wagering this year, and while it is legal for them to run lines on poker tournaments, they said the reality of how the tournaments work, that they are only planning on doing sportsbook wagering for the final table of the main event.
Right.
Because it takes time to, like, you know, set lines and then get people to wager on before it starts and everything, and that's really difficult. So, if you're looking to bet on people, you're going to have to do it in the back alley, you know, shooting dice with someone.
Yeah.
Except for the main event. Yeah. All right, so the last part, definitely the biggest change this year, I think, and it's an understatement, is online now. Because last year, WSOP.com launched, like, in the middle of the series, I think, or towards the end. And didn't really have much of an effect that late. This year, it's been around for an entire year, and they really are ramping up all the features of it, including, as we've already mentioned, a bracelet event. So you're going to be able to log on to your computer and play for a bracelet, and not a satellite or anything, an actual bracelet event. And then if you make it to the final table, then they're going to finish it live, which I think is kind of funny. It's kind of like that first Players' Championship horse event, right?
Yeah.
Or they played horse or eight game mix or whatever it was for however long, and then the final table, No Limit Hold'em. but no, it's kind of cool a way to do it. So, and I think there's another way around it. But so, yeah, so a bracelet event online. So if you're an online superstar, that's a good way of getting a bracelet now. They also said the daily online satellites for each WSOP event. So, you know, as much as you like to tell me that I'm going to waste $1,500 on Raz, it's possible I might only waste $15.
I got a bone to pick with you. You know,
just one?
You're the only person I've ever heard say WSOP. I don't know anybody who says that, and I don't know why you say that. Is it so much of a strain on you to say WSOP?
Or
at least be cool about it and say whatsup.com or something.
that I can get behind.
I don't know. I've never heard anybody say that. You say WSOP. I don't know anyone who says that.
I promise you, I'm not the only one that says WSOP.
Okay. I don't talk to enough people about poker anymore. I think is that what it is. I sit in my office.
You're a little Howard Hughes there.
Yeah, I'm totally isolated.
Milk jugs of urine, and when I'm out there actually talking to the real people. Who say WSOP all the time.
I got really long fingernails, and I stutter. But really, I just never heard WSOP. You always say
it's
that.
It's a lot easier than WSOP.com, isn't
it? I know, because you're so strained for time and syllables.
What's up?
What's
I like
up?
That. I'm just using that.
The WhatsApp.com. All right, I thought we started a new slogan for the people at Caesars, but whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure they're happy about it, too. But daily online satellites, I think that's pretty cool. And Wi-Fi is going to be available throughout the playing area. Now, this is another thing, too. It's been 2 years since I've been out there, so I don't know what the Wi-Fi situation was last year. But I remember the last time I was out there, it was pretty poor for players, right?
Mm.
And a couple before that, we used to huddle around the media area because we'd be able to pick up the media Wi-Fi, right?
Right.
And we had the password for that. So, but they now they have Wi-Fi everywhere, and of course it makes sense, right? Because they're running whatsup.com.
See,
and they want you to be playing, right?
Yep.
And make money from you both ways, right? And this is very interesting. They had a lot of discussion about this, but you will be able to play on whatsup.com at the table while you're playing a live event.
What, if you're in a hand, do you have to
if
stop
you're in
playing?
A hand, they said, we understand that you, if you're in a hand online and your hand at the live table, we're not going to make you choose.
Wow.
So you're going to be able to play both. And obviously they're going to police it. I mean, if it's ridiculous, you're continually slowing down the action in the live tournament, then, you know, it's like anything else. The floor's going to be called and have a discussion. But they're going to try to be a little loosey-goosey about this and encourage you to be... raking your play twice at the same time.
Well, I know, of course, that's
true,
what they're doing.
Right? You know?
Of course, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them, their own hand. But, I mean, I think this is going to cause some problems. We'll see. I want to hear about that later on.
Yeah, probably more so in the early stages. I don't think anybody is going to be too serious about playing two events. You know, if you're playing at the first couple hours of the main event, when it's, what, quarter 50, and you've got 30,000 chips, you know.
Yeah.
That hard. But now I should say, I do believe they say once you get into the money, then you no longer can use your phones. I believe that's what they said.
Hmm.
Which is obviously important at that point not to have distractions. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that is, and see how good the Wi-Fi is and all that kind of stuff. So.
Man.
And then just to close it out, just to remind you, there's the World Series of Poker. WSOP, so I can say it all kinds of ways. It's not the only tournament going on in Vegas this year. The NEA Poker Tour Series will be downtown at the Golden Nugget, May 27th to July 3rd. I just booked my airfare today, so I will be out there for most of the series. So come down and say hi to me. And while you're down there, might as well just go ahead and buy into that Raz event. Show me how much I don't know. But no, 56 events is going to be a great series. That's a great venue down there. I always like going to the Grand even before they invite us to be part of it. And come down and see us.
What's up? So this next item we want to talk about, I have to talk about this because it says here.
That's good because it's all the
I'm so glad you put this on there because I was wanting to talk about this. And I'm glad it's on the file here. A team of four professionals, poker players that is, defeated a computer recently in a week long heads up no limit poker match at the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh. Cloudico, I guess is how you say his name. A computer built over the past decade at Carnegie Mellon University. Whenever I hear that, I always think of Ronnie Dangerfield. Won in just 4 of the 13 days of the tournament, which encompassed 80,000 hands. Players and researchers alike say the day is coming when computers will consistently beat humans at poker. And all I have to say is, really?
I might call your bluff on that.
Really? I mean, is this what's going on at Carnegie Mellon University, that they have to come up with a computer that can play poker well? Can't we put our minds together and do more important things? I mean, I love poker. Poker's our career. Poker's our life. Whatever. But come on. Really?
All right, now I'm gonna have to scold you here a little.
Good, bit. Go ahead.
It just shows your community college education. And I know you didn't go to community college. It's more fun for the jokes. Play along.
I got you.
that you'll understand that this is just one application of what they're trying to do. Really, this whole project is about building artificial intelligence, to create robots that can just take over the world.
Yeah, I understand.
Poker is a fun way of getting a lot of pub for it. I mean, we're not going to be talking about this if they spent the last decade training these computer to fly drones or something, right?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they do, too. But, I mean, it's interesting that they've chosen poker as to replicate human thinking. Because, as we mentioned before, remember the last time we talked about this computer thing and it was Limit?
It was Limit, right.
And we're like, oh, no one plays Limit, heads up. Wait till you do, heads up, no Limit, and then talk to us. Well, now we got to talk about it, because that's what they're doing here. And then you have so much more human thinking involved than you do in Limit, which is mathematical.
Right.
So, if they could teach a computer to play No Limit Hold'em, they could probably teach a computer to do anything.
So basically, the day we started this podcast, some guys were sitting around Carnegie Mellon University and said, hey, you know what? We should start making a computer that...
Exactly. Isn't that cool?
And so 10 years later, we're still doing the show, and they still can't beat us in poker. Well done, Carnegie Mellon University.
Now, here's the great thing. I haven't heard from many of our binary bunch lately. Maybe they all left. But I'd be interested in hearing from them now, because if you read the story, and the one I read was from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, so but there's a ton of them out there, the math guys and computer guys are saying that this was within the statistical tie with players.
Really?
Even though, I sold it pretty hard here that the players won 9 out of 13 games.
Right.
They said that it was almost close to a statistical tie. And so... Depends who you ask.
Yeah, but what does that mean, though? I mean, are you saying, like, just chip totals over 13 days end up being...
I don't know. Really.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, that's just kind of a... Yeah. You
read the story and try to figure out your own.
Whatever. I think that... I guess you could say it's a fun way, but you know what? College is about fun, when you're out of the school, when you're, in the parties and the quad and stuff. But when you're actually doing work there, it's supposed to be, hey... Let's do this thing for real and solve some serious problems, not how to play somebody.
But I'm sure that's what they're going to do. It's just one of the applications of it. They didn't build this computer just to play poker.
I know, but why have that facet of it at all anyway?
Because it's a real world replicating human in a quantifiable way.
All right.
I mean, what are you going to teach you how to flirt with girls at the bar?
Yes.
I mean, that would be pretty cool, actually.
That would be awesome. Hello, my name is Carnegie. You look great. If I told you you had a nice body, would you hold it against me?
Come on, this is Carnegie Mellon University. They're not going to have their computer pickup guy sound like an Atari 2600.
Atari 2600. Man, I miss those days.
Oh, man, back when I could play video games.
They didn't have poker for Atari 2600.
Probably because they heard some loud mouth like you going, really, poker?
Really?
To figure out.
Really, poker? Oh, man. All right, well, anyway.
University is where my best friend in high school went to college.
Oh, wow. Thanks for that useless knowledge. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great. And then we're like, hey, what's the mascot? And he's like, it's a tartan. And we're like, what's a tartan? And he had no idea.
It's the disrespected Dangerfields.
Tartan Mellon.
Oh, man.
All right, so I know we're not to the call the floor section yet, but I want to bump this up to the top because it's from our good friend Nick. And it reminds me that, yes, we should always ask Sam. Last week on the call the floor, we did it on our own. We went alone on our own, right?
Yeah.
And we screwed up. So Nick is one of our longtime listeners. He's also a poker dealer instructor. And let us know we goofed. When we talked about the turn card being prematurely exposed, in that situation, go back to listen to last week's show so we don't have to go over it all right now. The correct action is to complete the betting round, burn and turn the proper river card to replace the exposed turn card, and then if the hand makes it to the river, then is when you shuffle the exposed turn card back in the deck and deal out a new river card.
Okay, so I have
to... Same idea, but just in a different order.
Yeah, I have to say a couple things about this. One... I, for some reason, was forgetting that it was a turn card. Because we've all seen this. We've all seen them
right,
do
yeah.
that. And it just, we just jumped the gun, and we're sorry about that. But it's true. You still have to shuffle that card in eventually.
A more efficient answer. That's what our PR department is saying.
But the other thing is, here comes that old Destiny card.
Oh, my God. Don't we bring up the Destiny card.
It's just like, he's Quagmire. I mean, really, you have to understand why people have felt this way all the time, because all of these rules are in place to keep these destined cards in. And so, to me, when people say, well, that's the card I should be getting, and then everyone bitches at them about it and say, you know what, it's a random card. No. Then take all your rules and shove them straight up where the sun don't shine. If you're going to give me rules that preserve the destiny of the river card, because that's the card that was supposed to come up on the river, then all destined cards should be destined cards. That's what bothers me about it. I let go of it myself as far as when we're playing. I don't care anymore. I don't say it anymore. But when you bring up rules like this, it's like, well, then why were you giving me crap before?
It gives me no pleasure to agree with you. But you're right. This whole doing it the way that Nick described, which is proper, does... The only reason to do that is for the Destiny.
Yeah.
Which does not apply in other rules.
Right. It flies in the face of everything
they
do.
Hey, we don't want to mess up that... We messed up one card. We don't want to mess up the other card that's supposed to come out.
Exactly.
So let's get that out now, even though that completely changes to how the hand progresses anyhow, right?
Yeah.
Let's make sure we get that one out. And then, if we need to, then we'll bring this other card out.
It just bothers me. And I know Nick's right, because I've seen this done, and I know it's right. You and I just lost sight of the fact that it was a turn and not the river, and that's why we screwed it up. But
we were doing it more efficiently.
Yeah, we were just getting to the answer eventually. But
stick to the storyline!
But we're journalists, so we weren't wrong. We're wrong. We want to say it. But it just bothers me that this is in the rules, and then later on when they'll say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's a random card. No, it does matter if you're going to say it matters other places. Be consistent. You know what I mean? Or don't be consistent.
The Poker TD Summit's coming up here next month, so you know.
Bring
what?
It up, buddy.
Maybe I'll take the mic and I'm like, down with Destiny!
Yes!
T-shirts printed up, all kinds of stuff.
Yes! Those would sell like hotcakes.
They would, actually. I don't know how many people buy hotcakes anymore. Who goes to McDonald's for breakfast? That's the only place that's a hotcake.
Hotcake, oh.
This is an interesting thing in the back and forth I had with Nick. He brought this up, and so this is really why I wound up bringing up other than just apologizing for our mistake, because Nick and I are having a pretty good discussion about this, and to me, this is like one of those things where people, you know, that I don't know, you're never on the internet, so you didn't know this whole black versus blue dress thing that captivated the nation like last month, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, right?
No, I've heard of it, though. Someone you look at and you think it's blue, something it's
right,
yellow
exactly.
Or something. Yeah, I heard about it, though.
And you can't convince anybody it's the other one, because you're looking at it and you're like, it's blue!
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean black? And then you got something that, no, my God, it's just black! Are you an idiot?
I saw it on Yahoo News.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this next thing is very similar to this. I might be overselling it now, but...
He says, you never do that, Scott.
And he's going back to when I discussed the dealer at our Antioch Poker Tour event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he started to split the pot before the end of it. So his question was, do you think that action should be automatically halted and the pot divided equally among remaining players when the nut hand is on board? And I cut out of his example, but let's just say it's Broadway is on the board and, you know, no flush possible. So. There is no better hand possible, no matter what you have in your hand, right?
Right.
Or anybody has in their hand. So he wants to know why we should waste time allowing player the chance to bet.
Oh, that's so easily answered, though. I mean, first of all, well, there's a lot of reasons, actually. The first one is that, one, if they're not paying attention, you can get someone out. And it's just like any other situation.
Exactly.
Two, if they don't know what the best hand is, that's your education now comes into play better than theirs does. Right?
Right.
And then even the other thing, too.
Sing it, sister.
You're saying that the dealer himself now is taking
care. Pay attention.
Right. That it's just not right. It's just not right. There's a reward for paying attention. There's a reward for knowing the education of the game. There are so many reasons why you can't do this. Now the dealer is coming in saving somebody who might have made a grave error or whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, you just can't do those things.
All right, so this is, I'm glad you said that. So now you're on the blue dress team.
I'm on the blue dress.
Right, and Nick's on the black dress team, because his example was, he saw this happen in I don't know if it's a home game, a home tournament, something like that. And it was the host, ironically, that bet on the river and got a player to fold, and then a player got so embarrassed and stormed out and never came back. And so, you know, my response was the same thing to you. And you're like, hey, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. but poker is a game of observation.
Yes.
And poker is a skill-based game. So if you're not observant and you're less skilled than someone else, you are going to lose. And I'm not going to sit there with a tissue and wipe the tears off your face when I take your money.
Also,
no one did that to me when they took all my money when I started playing this game.
Let's say it's something that is well disguised and, I don't know, like a middling straight flush, but it comes out where the gutter hits at the end and a guy has an ace of hearts in his hand and it's 5-8 hearts in the middle and he bets it thinking he has the nut flush because he has the ace of hearts in his hand and the other guys fold. Then one guy who's not in the hand says, what are you folding for? Is a straight flush on the board or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, obviously it's not the nuts because we're making a mistake here because you can make a higher one, so it's not the nuts. But even if it's something like a royal flush on the board or some weird thing, like four aces and a king on board, something weird where everyone's going, ooh, whatever, who cares? But if someone folds because someone bet and that rule was out there, and then the other guy would say, hey, why did you fold? We're going to divide the pot up among everybody. And then he'd be like, oh, sorry, you're out of the hand. You're not in the hand anymore. We don't divide it with you. And then you start another argument that way, too. I mean, why would you invent a rule? That's the rule of the game. The rule of the game is five cards can play on the board if they want.
Yeah, I think this opens up all kinds of other trouble. And the whole reason that we're doing this is to protect a player. Then you're going to have to protect a player in all kinds of other scenarios.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not consistent or fair, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my big thing here.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, good. I'm glad you're on Team Blue here.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was surprising to have this conversation. And one of his back was, would it make any difference if it was a tournament? I'm like, no. Why would it?
It's the same
thing. I think it makes a big difference. And I'm like, wow, really? Stick it to that black dress, Nick.
This is no way.
Huh. All right. Well, very good.
All right, next thing you're going to do is, when somebody's got pocket aces, someone else got pocket aces, they get it all in. Oh, let's not deal out the board. Oh, a flush is possible. Yeah, so
well,
what?
Yeah,
we're
so
wasting time. It hardly ever happens.
Right.
And you can't do stuff like that. It's not judgment. It's fact. These are rock-solid rules and you know, things that are actually there for... These aren't interpretation things. You can't interpret things for that. It's one thing if there's a mistake made, but when there's actual cards being on the board and it's fact that that straight is there, and there's no reason to keep that out of someone's arsenal. There's no reason to do that. It's just you're opening up a can of worms. All right, let's go.
And what about this one, though? What about the rule that you have to bet the nuts or you get a penalty? Would you not be compelled to bet here?
Well, I guess. Oh, but you don't have the nuts. We all have the nuts. I don't know.
But you have the nuts.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I'm taking it to a ridiculous extreme, yeah. But I mean, you know, now you're violating another rule by saying, oh, lifeguard.
Yeah.
Blowing its whistle. That's done, guys. Everybody's got it.
You're all on penalty. We're going to deal cards around when no one's into the table. Because none of you bet the nuts.
All right, time for Annie updates. I nailed it.
Nice.
Sitting around all week just going, Annie updates, and Cats hate it now. All right, so it's time to cast your ballot in Annie Up's MPD, our most popular dealer contest. Go to antiupmagazine.com/MPD and vote for up to 3 dealers in each of 5 regions. All voters are automatically entered into a drawing to win one of more than 400 prizes from our sponsors, so there's an encouragement other than just supporting your favorite dealer to vote. Voting is open through July 8th, and I gotta say this for all you knuckleheads that like iPhones. On your iPhone, for some reason, cookies are not automatically enabled, so in order to complete the survey, you will have to go change your settings to allow cookies, at least for that website, in order to vote.
Yeah, you know, my iPhone did it automatically. I don't even remember enabling my cookies ever, but it worked for me, so
yeah.
Just catch up with the 21st century.
But very excited about this. This is going even better than I thought when we first dreamt this up. So we had a lot of good dealers. Our staff did a blind vote to winnow it down to the 50 that we put out there. And it's really good. If you go to the website again, at antiupmagazine.com/MPD, we did put the responses to the question, why should you be Antiup's MPD? And they're really good, I think.
Cool.
Well, you know, really talk about how this is not just a job, this is a career, this is a vocation, this is a calling for them.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're hoping to get. So, Vote today.
All right. And players looking to win their way aboard our November 7th NEF Poker Cruise out of Tampa now have two opportunities to do so. RaiderPoker.net is hosting a June 28th free roll with a cruise package as the top prize. All players who register will be entered into a drawing for a second package, and players will get 10 additional entries for every player they refer. Also, CardPlayerClub.com is hosting a free roll on July 11th with a cruise package as its top prize. For details on both tournaments, visit AntiUpCruises.com and click on the Tampa link. Subscription poker is permitted in 37 states and the District of Columbia. There is no cost to enter either of these tournaments, but players looking to play more can play pay one low monthly fee and play as much as they like on both sites.
Yeah, you don't have to register, you know, no money, nothing involved here other than just signing up and playing poker for these two events. So definitely give these two sponsors a good tryout, and if you like their software, and whether you win the cruise or not, stick around and keep playing.
All right, each week we spotlight a listener who calls our hotline at 206-338-6344 or emails us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com. And if you haven't won something from us in the past year, just like they do with Call the Floor and Hand of the Week, we'll send you something cool. This comes from Adam B. He says, I'm in Connecticut. Sorry. And the Mohegan Sun has a Play Money poker site where they give away vouchers to play in live tournaments, hotel stays, etc. With all the fun stuff you guys have going on, have you ever thought of using PokerStars as a platform for hosting steps tourneys to win entries into your events? I think it would be a great way to drum up extra excitement and support around the Antiup events.
Excellent idea. Can't do it.
Damn. Next.
Yeah, two big problems with this. One, obviously, that would be online poker for money, which is technically illegal, right?
Yes.
So it's not even a possibility. And then if you were able to do it some way without money, but just as a fun way to give away something, the PokerStars home games platform specifically bans it using for commercial purposes. So the PokerStars home games was set up expressly for the home game kind of thing. So you're not supposed to be going on there giving away prizes, things like that. Now, obviously, there are papes saying, you know, I don't know where we're giving away prizes at all. It's just a fun thing our listeners did. So that's the best thing we could do right now. Sorry. But hopefully someday.
Okay. Hey, you find yourself in a situation at your favorite poker room or home game and you're not sure what the proper ruling should have been? Email us at podcast@antiupmagazine.com and we'll have Antiup Poker Tour Tournament Director Sam Minatello tell you how we would have ruled. This week's sponsor is PokerRadius.com, poker's newest social networking site and home to the Antiup Group Discussions. Comes from Chris Breedlove in South Texas. We were in a friendly home game with about 20 friends who come to South Texas for a weekend of fishing. The night before, one of the players lost about $150. Tonight he was up about $350. I had to go to the bathroom, and when I got back, he had left the table for a smoke. I noticed about $200 of his chips had left the table. I asked everyone where the chips went. Nobody really knew. After about 10 minutes, the chips never returned. I got a little upset and asked the player where the chips went. He had pocketed the chips, indicating that was a normal practice everywhere he played poker. I told him the only time you could take chips off the table is if you wanted to cash in for the night. Was I right?
Yes, and I would get a list of every place this guy plays poker.
And go tell them that they're doing
it
wrong.
And never play at them. Because obviously they do not know the basics of poker.
That's called going south.
Rat-holing,
as Fassel likes to say. You cannot take money off the table because you are not giving us a chance to win it back. You took our money, we have a chance to take yours. And for you to do that, you better leave.
Yeah. It's table stakes, so you can't reach into your pocket and put more on, but you can't reach in your pocket and take some out.
Yes.
Or probably put some back in.
Put some back in.
Somehow I lost the whole analogy. People know what I'm talking about.
Put those chips back on the table, buddy. And we're in Texas. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You don't want to be doing that in Texas. I remember that time we were in Vegas and the guy went south on us. Remember we were at the table together and I'm like, hey, where'd all your chips go? He's like, I lost them. I'm like, I don't know. You had like 300 there a minute ago. And the guy ended up leaving because he was rat-holing on us. Where was that? That was like the Hard Rock or something.
I don't remember this, but yeah.
Yeah. You and I were playing No Limit Hold'em together a very long time ago. And the guy at the end of the table, I wrecked him for a big hand. But then I wanted more of his money. And he took it and put it in his pocket.
Oh, maybe it was Monte Carlo. You did well there. I did not.
I can't remember. But it was somewhere. I was mad.
Well, that's a given. We were somewhere in Christmas Mass. Wow! Mind blown.
Hey, you know what? We're going to give O'Malley a week off.
All right, one more thing before we move on.
Oh.
This is actually important because we haven't talked about it on the show since we first talked about it. But Cash will not play at the World Series Poker this year. Cash Tables as well, too. So joining all those other properties that aren't doing it. And, you know, what I'm hearing from a lot of people is it was very hard to police what we're talking about here with Chris is, you know, people don't mind leaving their chips on the table when they go take a tinkle, right?
Oh, yeah.
But they don't like leaving $1,000 in bills, right? Yeah. So it was really hard to police people taking that money off the table and not putting it back on when it came back. So that's one of the one of the biggest reasons that no longer being cash being played, but lots of rooms now.
They need those big plastic plexiglass, you know, boxes they put over the chips and their money. Then they'll feel safe.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
that's what they need. But like I said before, O'Malley's gonna take a week off, and hopefully we'll have him back on next week. And now we're gonna move to Hand of the Week.
It's time for Hand of the Week. Send your hands or situations to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. This week's sponsor is One Hand at a Time. Home of poker instructional videos online. AntiUp listeners save $30 by registering at onehandatatime.com/antiup. And this comes from Ed Rindler and of Hamilton, Ohio, my home state. And he says, I was playing in a home game with quarter 50 cent blinds, I should say.
So, okay.
Smaller game. Okay. Big difference between quarter 50 cents and quarter 50.
Right.
All right, but this is a quarter 50 cent blind. No
50 cent. 50 cent, yep.
What's up, Doc Con?
I tell you, we are just so 2003 today.
Yes. Very well. All right, this particular hand happened late in the game. Four people had busted, so three of us had decided to play a couple more hands. All right, so very short.
Wow.
I was in the small blind with 95 in front of me with the ace of diamonds, tray of diamonds. The button has 154 and calls. So it's on to us. With, again, the ace of diamonds, tray of diamonds, quarter to call, or we can raise, or we could fold.
Three-handed, you know, it's so weird to play. I don't play three-handed cash games very often, but, I mean, to me, with a limper, ace-three suited is a monster, and I'm going to raise, I think. I really do. I know I'm going to be out of position or whatever, but, well, I mean, it's also, you could play this every way. I mean, you could literally fold it. But it'd be too tight to fold.
Yeah,
so you could just limp with it, and they'll never suspect you have a suited ace, three-handed, and didn't raise with it. And then you could raise with it and take it down and maybe get yourself $1.50 and move on. But I don't know. You could be tricky with it. I don't know these players. I don't know how the night's been going. So it's hard for me to do anything but ABC poker. It seems like I would just call and try to trick them a little bit. But I might raise, too. I don't really know what I'm going to do with this hand.
Yeah, I think any ace is big three-handed, so,
yeah.
You know, I'd be inclined to raise. But, I, you know, you're right. You know, you could do some – you could be deceptive here and just call, and then, you know, if an ace comes, then, you know, you can represent it. And in a small blind, you could represent that, hey, no one else raised, so obviously no one has an ace, so I'm going to represent that I have one, and people are going to not believe you, and then you – hammer down that tray of diamond kicker and take that pot. All right, so our hero decides to raise to 250.
That's not bad.
Pretty big raise.
Yeah, well, we got a limper in already.
Three-handed, so. You got to get some money in the pot, right?
Yeah.
Big blind has $36 left and calls, as does the button. All right, so family pot. And we've got $7.50 in the pot now in this quarter 50 cent game.
All right, I'm getting ready to shove.
And the flop is the King of Diamonds, Jack of Clubs, Ten of Spades.
Oh, man, we're first to act.
Yes, we are.
We have to bet.
We have one diamond and a gut shot, right?
We have to bet, and an overcard.
Right.
Okay, well, Rindler me this.
Rindler.
How much would you think is a proper bet three-handed with $7.50 in the pot? I mean, $4? Probably. Something like that.
$4, yeah, I think
yeah.
so.
All right, so that's probably what I would do. I would probably bet $4 just for the sake
of... It depends on the chips I have in front of me, too. I know that's a bad way of doing it, but that's normally how I bet in home games. You know, I look down, like, three of these.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all quarters. That's a different story. There's a dollar chips, then, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
$3 or $4.
Yeah, $4.
All right. That's exactly what our hero did.
Nice.
You were channeling Ed Rindler right now. All right, so he bets $4, the big blind calls, and the button calls. So everybody's still in.
Jeez.
That's now, what I think is interesting about this is everybody's in on a board that has a lot of paint, big cards, and, oh, I guess we'd raise, right? So,
we did raise.
So, okay. Yeah. So, it's going to be interesting. Forgot that we got all high and mighty there.
Feels like someone has a queen.
Very possible. All right, so in 1915, the pot now. Turn is the six of hearts. So the board is king of diamonds, jack of clubs, ten of spades, six of hearts. A meaningless card, some would say.
Our charade is up. I don't know if I'm going to put more money in the pot with two more callers. I'm probably going to just check here.
No one's hanging around for a flush draw, right? So at this point, either we're up against a queen, which we're, you know,
still ahead, but
now we're ahead, right?
We don't want to hit our ace.
Or someone has, or both of them have a king or jack or ten, which has us beat right now, right?
Yeah, I'm inclined to check and give up. I mean, it'd be one thing if I got heads up with somebody, but I got two guys on me, you know, and they called my raise pre-flop, so they had to have something. And we bet and they call again. I can see one person floating us, but two?
Yeah.
You know, I think we're beat, and we would need that queen to come to win. So I think I'm going to have to check. I realize it's a wimpy thing to do, but it feels like, especially with some guys only got like $30 in front of them, if he shoves on me now, what do? I got to call $20-something more dollars because the pot's so inflated.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm probably just going to check and hope for a double check behind.
All right. Our hero says, I want to see a free card at this point. If I hit a queen on him, I'm obviously good. Oh, yeah, and then we have to shut down the hand and split the chips up, right?
Yeah. That's right.
That's right. so if I hit this, I'm obviously good with an ace. He says, I check, the big blind checks, and now the button, which is the one that has the bigger stack, bets $5.
Well, now that's just a judgment call. If you think $5 is worth a flyer to try to hit one of your four outs, I don't really consider an ace an out anymore. That's up to you. If you think you can afford $5 because you've got, how much did we have in front of us? 95 originally, so now you got about 80 something in you. If you feel like wasting $5 to try to hit to win 20, you know, whatever, 4-1, you're wanting to hit a four outer, whatever. But
here's the problem, I think, with our position on this too, is that we don't know what we're hoping for now, right?
I know,
because we've already talked about maybe somebody has a queen and maybe somebody has a king or a jack or something like that. Those are the likely holdings here, right?
Yeah.
And since the big blind checked, we don't know what he's going to do if we decide to call, right? And we don't want to go to this river three-handed, right?
Right.
Because then anything we hit is probably not going to be good, right?
Right.
Well, unless we hit the queen and we get our... Right. But so... and then we're down to a four-outer at that point, right?
Yep.
So I think we're just in a bad spot here. I mean, now we don't really... We can't figure out what card we're hoping for on the river, right?
Right.
And we're going to be out of position. We're going to have to check that river unless we hit that miracle queen. And obviously we're going to face a bet. And then we're going to have to play this game of chicken twice.
Yeah. I don't mind the queen. Obviously, we got the nuts. But other than that, you hit an ace, you're screwed. And what are you, like you said, what are you hoping for? I mean, really, you're only hoping for a queen. And so you're not getting the right odds to call for that queen. So, and even then, you might even be up against another race and splitting the pot anyway, so then your odds are even worse.
Very good point. Yep, absolutely.
You know, because they did call your raise. The big blind might not have limped with an ace, but the big blind might have called a raise with an ace, so could have been why he called that first bet, too. So really, now your pot out
check now, too. Yeah, so.
Yep.
You know, so, you very well could have an ace. Yep.
I'm going to fold.
All right, so our hero says, I feel like he could have a king or jack, so my feeling doesn't really change. I have outs, and he's betting fourth the pot, so I call. And the big blind calls as well.
Well.
Yeah, so this is a problem now, right?
Yeah, this is a big problem.
$34.50 in the pot, and the river is the nine of clubs. So our final board is king of diamonds, jack of clubs, ten of spades, six of hearts, nine of clubs. And, of course, we missed. We're out of position. He says, I'm done. And I check it. And it checks around.
So everybody checks afraid of the queen rather than having queen. So nobody had a queen.
All right, so let's see what everybody else had here. Both the other guys say they have an ace. The big blind flips over ace of clubs, seven of hearts. Button flips over ace of spades, four of diamonds.
They chop it?
three-way split pot.
Oh, wow. Wow, the big blind, I mean, the button didn't raise with the ace three-handed, huh?
He says, I've never seen that happen before. I'm sure more aggression by anyone would have won that pot. And small blind, I didn't want to be raised at all, so I just couldn't find the courage to bet, which is very safe, I think.
How do you not bet if you're the button at the end? Two checks, I mean, you can't lose. I mean, there's no way. You represent that queen now. That's what you've been doing the whole time. Or a pair, because you've been doing it the whole time. You've bet out on that turn. How do you not bet again when they check you?
I think you're right. I think that he lost some value out of position.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be. But, man, how wild is that? Four, three-handed and...
And they all have ace
three of the
rag.
Aces are in
and three hands. Yeah, and it's ace rags too. That's crazy.
Don't see that every day.
Wow. Well, at least Ed now has something from us to. You know, he comes out a winner anyway. So the other two are losers now. So Ed's the winner. He gets something from us, and he gets to be on the show. Now he's famous.
His kicker is better.
All right, I'm Chris Cosenza,
and I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Anti-Up is a production of AntiUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@AntiUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 206-338-6344. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@AntiUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.